everybody, and welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel, but today it's with David Sumrall. I am glad to be your host today, and you know, we have so much to be thankful for. I'm sure you will be thankful when Dan is back in this chair, and I tell you what, it's a joy and a privilege for me to be able to sit in for him while he's gone, and the Red Pill Expo, I'm sure, had a great time turnout. I hope that they really had a great event as well, and I hope some of you got to participate with that, but I can't wait for him to get back. He's a dear friend, and like I said, I appreciate him having me on, and we're going to touch on a couple of different things today from my side of the world, so I hope that you will grab your pen and paper. We have some action items for you to take part in, and I think it'll be a great episode for you to learn a few things you might not have known and a few ways that you can help those in need during this season. Like I said, we have so much to be thankful about. There are a lot of people that need a little hope this season. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about it coming up next.
Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
And welcome back to the program, Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. I am guest host David Sumrall. Glad to be with you. Listen, we've got a few things to talk about. We have so much going on in the world today to be nervous and apprehensive and cautious and mad about, upset, angry. We know that this is the world we live in. But let's not lose sight of the season we're coming into of Thanksgiving and how it's a biblical thing to give thanks at all times. You're either going somewhere, learning something, doing something. So I want you to buckle up and get ready to learn a few things today on how we can help some other people during this season. So like I said, I'm David Sumrall. I am from StopHate.com. And we've done a lot of research on the January 6th fiasco of this government. We've put out two films, Writing History, and BloodyHill.com is another one that you can go to and see. We've done videos and articles on January 6th. We found witnesses to the deaths from the day that most people aren't aware of. You know, everybody's heard of Ashley Babbitt. Some people have heard of Roseanne Boylan, but there's two gentlemen that died that day as well, Kevin Grease and Benjamin Phillips. And the reporting that goes behind that, my team at StopHate.com, a lot of them are J6 defendants as well. So they have a vested interest in fighting for their freedoms and fighting for their lives. And we see what this court has done to the people that it's been given to sacrifice for this cause. So there's a lot of information at StopHate.com. I'd love for you to go there. And as you see on the screen right now, there's the American Gulag Chronicles. and it's Letters from Prison. So I'd like to just kind of talk to you a few minutes, and then we'll go and look around on this site. But there's a gentleman by the name of Tim Rivers, and he's a great guy. He just approached me one day and said, hey, I want to help. I want to get involved. He started doing J6 Patriot News at j6patriotnews.com. It's an amazing site that is full of information about January 6th prisoners and their plight. Just a really great guy. Came out of retirement, you know, had it made, could have just relaxed and decided to jump feet first into the fight and help these people. You know, he started writing letters back and forth. He was introduced through the prisoner's record on Telegram to Patriot Mail Project, which is a carryover from the old Bundy situation a couple of years back. And it was reinvigorated by actually my employee's mom. So it's a long story. My employee, Daniel Goodwin, walked into the Capitol, walked back out through an open door, didn't touch anybody, didn't push anybody. They want him for, you know, 20 some odd years. It's a really disgusting case like the rest of them. And Daniel's mom wanted to get involved. She got involved with the Patriot Mail Project at patriotmailproject.com. And she's done wonders with the group. They've sent out tens of thousands of letters in support for these patriots that are in prison. So along the way, Tim and Marie have joined efforts in putting some of these letters together for you. And it's an amazing compilation of expression from these prisoners that's captured from their pain, from their suffering. And I'm telling you, the letters themselves are amazing. The artwork is something that you will not forget. You know, the stories that these guys tell are the very stories that the government does not want out. The media won't talk about their situations. The attorneys aren't allowed to speak about the facts of the case for the most part. The 14,000 hours of evidence is sealed from the public for now. And, you know, we see that the travesty is being, the injustice is in the details of not being able to use some of this evidence in court. In the Oath Keepers trial specifically, I talked to Steve Baker. He's been in the courtroom for 8 weeks watching this trial unfold. And he said, you know, the evidence that we supplied, some of the videos, you know, the judge said that he would not allow those into evidence. And yet they're showing evidence of other people doing things that aren't at all related with the Oath Keepers that happened before they even got there. So we're seeing this real travesty. Well, these letters from prison really explain a lot of what these people are going through from a year's time. So it's a chronological book. I think it's laid out really well for people to understand when they were arrested, this is how they felt. This is their fear. This is where they were in the midpoint and then in the end of the year, you know, where they are now. And I think you'll find some really amazing truths in these letters about what these guys are going through and how they're suffering. And right now we're doing a pre-order on the book, and we'll be sending an email out in a day or two on the details of when and where to get yours. But right now, if people could just go to lettersfromprison.com, no, I'm sorry, lettersfromprison.us, lettersfromprison.us, and pre-register for this. This is 100% proceeds go to help the J6ers with their legal fees, with their families, with, you know, their needs. There is no administrative cost. There's no fees. After shipping and handling, guys, all the proceeds go to help these people. So it's really owning a piece of history. And I just want people to realize that this is the very kind of work that the government does not want to get out. So if you can look through this and just say, hey, I would like to have this on my coffee table. I'd like to give these as gifts for Christmas, or I'd like to sponsor some of these books, you know, just contact us and we can definitely direct you in the right path to help. And that's what this is all about. This is about awareness. This book accomplishes a couple of different goals. It really enlightens the public as to what's going on in the system, not only with the courts, but in the prisons and in the family situations. There's a lot of, you know, really personal, heartfelt pleas in these letters. And the second thing it does, of course, is it helps in the legal fight. These guys have been neglected in so many ways. We're short attention span, and so many times we'll, change our focus at the drop of a hat, and they're not getting the full support that they used to, of course. And, when we get these phone calls from these people, I promise you, they're desperate and they need help and encouragement. So first and foremost, go to patriotmailproject.com and sign up for, helping whoever's in your state, or adopt a couple of guys and start writing letters. They really survive on the hope that we afford them. And it's really not very expensive to write some letters. So I encourage you to do that. And second, go buy this book and, help raise funds for them, but help raise awareness. Now, there's a third bonus gift that goes along with this book that I'm really excited about more than anything. We've seen the judges try to dock people's pay and say, you can't sell books, you can't sell T-shirts, you can't make money on this. Well, this is not a defendant-driven project. So this is nothing that the judges or that the attorneys can say cease and desist. And that's really exciting for me, because this has the potential of, getting out further informationally than anything else has. We've put out a couple of documentaries, and the censorship is real in social media and electronically, sure, but the hand-to-hand combat of sharing books and information is unstoppable. And I'm telling you, these make perfect gifts. I mean it when I say every coffee table in America should have one of these on it. And I can't encourage you enough to share this link with people. Now, there's also a page on there. It makes it real easy. You can order a couple of, or print out a couple of these little cards. It's real simple. And all you have to do is hit the print button. It's got a QR code. You can pass them out at church. You can pass them out, at your government, at your political events, or wherever you want to go, what you want to do. But listen, this is it, folks. If you know the right people, you get one early. This is Letters from Prison, American Gulag, and you can't see it. I'm sorry, I tried to do that anyway. But it's a beautiful book, inside and out. I really encourage you to share that information with others so they can know the truth, for one, about January 6th. But, if you have a chance during the holidays, the Patriot Mail Project also has a Christmas program. And the importance of supporting these kids and their families during Christmas is really amazing. And we're not out of time. You can still go there and adopt a family, adopt some people for Christmas, and help them out, guys. Listen, it's been almost 2 years. Christmas is coming. This will be their second Christmas in prison. A lot of these people in jail have been there for over 650 days, 660, some 670. And it's ridiculous. And they have not seen a family member since they were put in this jail. And the trick about this is, folks, that I think more people understand, and it's pretrial detention. These guys have not had their day in court. They are sitting in prison for 2 years waiting on their trials. And if you can't see the travesty in that, then we have a problem. We need to talk more. Because this is suffering that we've never seen on a scale that we've never seen against the American people. And listen, words matter so much. We're in these battles with our words. And when you hear people say things and you wonder, why would they say that? It seems so upside down and backwards. I want to take two examples for you. The January 6th, quote, insurrection was worse than Pearl Harbor, or that it was worse than 9/11. People, they are right. That is the truth. They are worse because, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor both involve, foreign governments. I mean, foreign people, foreign actors. January 6th was a complete inside job. So this was carried out by our own people on our own people, without any interference, without any help. Russia wasn't in there. It's not like that. This was an inside job. And when you hear people say it was a setup, it really was. And I think what we're learning is that for years and years, a lot of people have been, stuck in this criminal justice system in some way, shape, or form. And they've been harassed and bullied and terrorized. And, you know, we really didn't pay a lot of attention because it didn't affect us. We weren't in that situation or operating in that world. We weren't the ones in trouble. And we really didn't care as much vocally as we probably should have for some of the injustice that was being done. Now it's being done to us. And this is a real opportunity, literally, for both sides to come together and say, you know what? This is one thing we do have in common. You know, and at StopHate.com, I started in 1992 during the LA riots, quite some time ago. And we saw what they did with racial elements and sexuality and religion. And now they've politicized every single topic, from abortion to, you know, how you dress, where you stay. Everything's been politicized to divide us. And if you don't understand at this point that Stop Hate does not have to be such a negative. So here's what happened in 1992 when we established Stop Hate. It was to overcome the Rodney King video. Basically, we saw what the media did with a snippet of a video and almost divided the entire country. Well, they did in a lot of ways. And we saw the riots in Los Angeles in 92. And directly after that, we stood against the KKK, the Nation of Islam. There were a lot of groups that were spewing hatred. And that's where a lot of this foundation comes from. And then the left kind of hijacked the word Stop Hate. And I encourage you to go to StopHate.com. I don't encourage you to go to any other Stop Hate with a the in there. There's some horrible sites out there, and they have, you know, taken the name Stop Hate and run it in the ground. So now when I go and speak at places and I say, hey, I'm David Summerall with Stop Hate, everyone looks at me like I'm a leftist. And I want to explain to you, that's as big a problem for us as it is for them. That's still prejudging. And that's something we really need to stop doing. I was at a rally in Austin before January 6th. And a kid was in the crowd. His dad was there, I guess his uncle. And of course, they were big Second Amendment guys. You know, they were both had their ARs on their straps, you know, and they were standing around making sure everything was safe. I don't have any problem with that. But the kid sees me standing over there in this, you know, Stop Hate shirt with a Stop Hate flag. And he took it upon himself to think that maybe I was on the wrong team somehow. And you know, it's the little things that people say. And I understand how it hurts, because for 30 years, I've gotten it from both sides. But, you know, with that comes a little wisdom. And, you know, this kid's saying things like, well, I bet you're disappointed. And I said, well, why would I be disappointed? He said, well, because everything's not on fire. And because, you know, we're not burning everything down. And because we're having a peaceful rally. And I just let him go for a couple of minutes, and, you know, thinking maybe that would make him feel better. And I guess it did to an extent. And then I pulled him aside and I said, hey, can we talk for a minute? And his dad and his uncle were standing there just smiling. I think they already figured it out. But, you know, I pulled him to the side. I said, hey, you realize that I'm the organizer for this rally, right? And of course he did not. And of course it was a shock and a surprise, because he prejudged me so harshly that there was no way that that wasn't even a possibility in his mind. And I think we do that the same, you know, to a lot of people that, you know, some we may think deserve it, some probably don't. I know it's not our job to judge other people, and yet we try to do that job as well as we can. So I talked to this kid. I said, this is my rally. You know, I organized this. I'm glad you're here. And as we talked, you know, he said, you know, his political views didn't line up with his friends at school, and that he was actually picked on at school as well. And we spent 15, 20 minutes of just really great conversation on, you know, this is why it hurts, and this is why it's wrong, and, you know, this is why we try to not do that. And, you know, if we could all learn those lessons easily and painlessly, I'm sure the world would be a better place. But unfortunately, we see through some of these actions that the pain is what makes you remember. And the pain of January 6th is something that so many people will never forget. This government has come after its own citizens in an effort to destroy their very lives, their families, deplatformed, censored, you know, gone out of the community. And if they have their way, they will succeed. It's up to us to really make sure that that doesn't happen in so many ways. These families deserve better. You know, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. The people that went on January 6th were the original election auditors, and they deserve our praise as the heroes that they are. Now, I'm sure a couple of people did some things they shouldn't have done. And if they broke glass, they should pay for a piece of glass. If they pushed somebody, you know, they should be in trouble for that, I guess. But to put somebody in jail for over 20 years for a piece of broken glass, or for 30 years that didn't even go inside, that never pushed a cop, or, you know, there's more folks, 70 years, never went inside. We've heard it all. We've seen it all. And this government will not stop. And the problem is with that, we're not winning a whole lot of battles in the courtroom. Now, we still have the court of public opinion. And that's really where we need to get more of the word out, so that people on both sides can understand what a travesty it is. I think the people on the other side from us can relate to what we're going through. The issue is, there's so many people on our side that don't know the truth. So I want you to really think, if your favorite media people haven't told you about the four murders on January 6th, why not? Do they know? Are they that good a journalist, or are they hiding it from you, or holding out, or dripping the information out for ratings? These are real questions that we need to explore. We're not going to do all that today. You need to do some of that on yourself and on your own, just to say, I don't know if everybody's telling me the whole story, and I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but I need to find out for myself. I think StopHate.com has a lot of that information for you. We've done extensive research. Go to StopHate.com/J6, and you'll be able to see the different information that we have from articles and different publications that we've collected along the way. Calls to action are so important, folks. You know, there's probably 15 or 16 different things that you can do on our site. Prayer is free, and yet it's one of the most valuable things you can do for these people. If you have a couple of bucks and you can donate, that'd be great. And whatever that looks like for you, you know. And of course, the Mail Project is fantastic. We've got the documentaries we've done and more that you can go and see on our website as well. And of course, if you'll contact your representatives and your senators and put your government on notice, you know, we'd really appreciate that. Now, there's a petition for making January 6th Patriots Day that we started early on. We also started the Stop Hate Department of Defense. And I want to tell you, no one else was defending these people. I can promise you, no one had come out to defend them yet when we started this. And it's just a collection. It's a portal that has all of their Give, Send, Go accounts. And I suggest you go and pick the people out of your state. Go adopt some people off of there. Patriot Mail Project has a great list as well, separated by state, age, everything. Or not age, but different separation. You can see their chart. And the only thing I can ask you to do is get involved in some way. And just think, if it was you, or if it was one of your family members, which in this day and age, it very well may be. And let's not forget that the government has already promised 2,500 to 3,000 more arrests. They've asked for $34 million more dollars and 130 more personnel to help prosecute and persecute these people. Bear in mind, we've already had seven people that we know of that have committed suicide from the pressure. You know, Matthew Perna is a prime example of that. And his aunt Jerry has done wonders to spread the information about what they did to him in adding the enhancements to his charge that pushed him over the edge. You know, and in this season, the people that have lost people, you know, Ashley Babbitt's mom and husband, good grief. You know, let's not forget about them. 2 years later, still no justice. So it's going to be up to us to really motivate the public to say enough's enough. And we're not going to sit by silently. And we're not scared of you. We will stand. It doesn't have to be violent. We don't want it to be violent. If you watch Bloody Hill, then you'll see at the end, I'm very emotional about that because I mean it. And that's something that they can't take away from us. is our intent. Now, they're going to lie about it in court. That's a whole nother story. And that's happening right now. And that's why we're not getting the victories that we need. But that's where we come in and support the people that we love. And that's what we need you for. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes, folks. Thanks for being here.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets. Right, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
I love watching Uncensored Truth on Brighteon TV.
Hi, I'm James Mundy with Liberty Monks Podcast. You can find us at www.libertymonks.com. We love watching Uncensored Truth, and that's what you get when you go to Brighteon. Amazing people at Brighteon, but you get uncensored information, and you get the truth there, and that's why we're huge fans of Brighteon Network.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to Connecting the Dots. I am David, and we miss you, Dan. Come back soon, brother, and traveling grace, safe journey to you. I talked to him the other day, and he asked me to do the show, and I tell you, folks, it's hard these days, and they work so hard at the Red Pill Expo to get people out and get people active and motivated and involved with their own world and their surroundings. So anything you can do to support them. And be sure and check out the next Red Pill Expo, and let's have a fantastic turnout for the next one. I'm kind of sad that so many Americans, you know, complain about so many sheep and so many people that don't do anything, and yet they don't do anything themselves. And I want to say that, you know, it's really that whole seasonal atmosphere feeling of it's better to give than receive. And so many times we lose sight of that, folks. I do. I know. I like to get stuff. But it feels great to give stuff. And when you give of your gifts and talents, there's no better feeling. So whatever those are, if you can step in and help our J6 family during the holidays, it would really be greatly appreciated by myself and them and their families and their children. And I don't want this to sound like a big infomercial, but I guess it kind of is, because it's where we are. Cue the cat music. You know, I mean, what do we have to do if it was pets that were being tortured and puppies and kittens with matted fur? We would all throw in $4 or $5, you know, a cup of coffee, $10, whatever it is. But for some reason, we're hesitant. And I believe that one of the main reasons people have not been proactive in supporting our prisoners that I call our hostages, because prisoners actually have rights, is the Officer Sicknick story. So I want to kind of go over that for just a second. And a lot of people are still in the dark, including our marshals, including our FBI, including our sheriffs, as to the truth behind what happened with the death of Officer Sicknick. So bear with me just for a second. On January 6th, it's reported, y'all remember Officer Sicknick died, and they claim that he was struck in the head with a fire extinguisher. Some media went so far as to say his head was caved in with a fire extinguisher. And if you remember that, raise your hand. I'm just kidding. I can't see you. But that's kind of what they led us to believe. And I think in the beginning, people thought, you know, those protesters, I was with them until that moment. Or I thought it was really great until they did that. Or, you know, if they really killed some police officer, I can't support that. I can't have anything to do with it. And anyone that was there would fall into that same category. And I couldn't blame you. I mean, honestly, if that had been the case, you'd be justified in so many ways to not support anyone. But you have to understand, that didn't happen. And that wasn't our intent. So let me give you a really quick explanation of what that looks like. Everyone that has analyzed January 6th has admitted that there were not enough police to control the crowd. They were outnumbered. They were overwhelmed. They were underprepared, understaffed, didn't have the right equipment and tools for that size of a crowd. Everybody remember that? They're just not ready for that bigger crowd. Well, then who controlled the crowd? Who controlled that massive crowd if they were out for blood and the police couldn't stop them? See, that's one of the big lies. This crowd wasn't out for blood. And in the videos that we have, we show the time that the crowd was attacked by the police. When the police started throwing the grenades, we show the deaths of all four of the protesters by the hand of Capitol and Metro Police. So the evidence is there. Now, whether the courts let it in the court, that's a different thing. Well, along this journey of evidence finding, I found a couple of witnesses. And, you know, that's the way God works in these things. You're going to need to meet some people. And he sent them my way in some really amazing ways. But I'll cut to the chase and say that Rod Taylor, on January 6th, was standing in the crowd holding a sign, like so many protesters were doing, and some members of the crowd walked a police officer straight to Rod Taylor. Straight to him means when Rod received this officer, he did it with one hand on each shoulder, looking eye to eye, face to face, and he said there was nothing in his eyes. He was blank. He was having some kind of medical issue. So I took him under the arm to the police line and told them, this man is having a medical emergency. Can you get him help? And they said, yes, we will help him. And he handed Officer Sicknick to the crowd, to the police, at around 3 o'clock. That's pretty important. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's early on. So he handed him over to the police and he went back across to where he was protesting and went back to holding his sign and chanting USA, USA. Now at 7:30, approximately, our second witness that the good Lord sent our way is a combat medic. And he's got a little experience and he was handcuffed behind his back. And he overheard another police officer say, "Hey, Sicknick, are you okay? You all right, Sicknick?" And Chris Alberts, our witness, said, "Wait a minute. I recognize that name. I know the Sicknick family. We're all ex-military. We're brothers. Move my cuffs from the back to the front so I can treat him. I'm a combat medic. His face is white. His lips are blue. He's having a stroke. Let me treat him. Let me help." And the police said, "Mind your own business." And they did not let him render aid. They said, "We have our own medics." And he said, "Well, let me treat him until they get here. Mind your own business." And a couple of hours later, Officer Sicknick collapsed. Now, if you'll notice, neither Rod Taylor nor Chris Alberts mentioned any head injury because there wasn't one. The other witness we have for that is the DC EMS themselves. They put out a video. And in that video, they said that when they reached Officer Sicknick, that CPR was being performed on him, or they had done CPR on him, and that he was not in cardiac arrest yet. He was not dead. I don't think it's good for you to get CPR if you're not dead yet. But they did not know, and nor did anyone else, what had happened to him. Now, they didn't mention a head wound either, because there wasn't one. Now, there's another part to this story. The media was quick to put out that story. So quick, in fact, one media outlet dropped the story about his death before he died. And they had to retract it for about an hour until he died. And then they released the story. That was 24 hours later. That was the next day. And they jumped the gun, had the story ready, put it out. Oops, retraction. We've got all the receipts. So what happened is Officer Sicknick laid in a hospital for 24 hours. And these reporters wrote this huge story about him having his head beat in with a fire extinguisher, getting hit in the head, that Trump supporters killed this guy, all these things, when it wasn't true. And the way they could have told that it wasn't true is that his body was laying there in a hospital bed. I think anybody could have gone in there and said, no, there's no head injury. Ask the doctor, what's going on? He had a stroke. He had a stroke. And if you ask the family at the time, they said, please don't go with this story because, he changed his medication, whatever it was, and had medical issues, whatever it was. But they asked the media not to do that. And the media did it anyway. And they put the story out. And it took months to get the coroner's report. And the coroner's report said there was no physical injury on the outside and no internal injuries. In other words, the spray did not kill him either, because the police tried to say that protesters had sprayed him and maybe that led to the stroke. Well, I got news for you. If spray was giving people strokes, there would have been hundreds, probably thousands of people with strokes from that. It wasn't stroke spray. That's just not what it was. And the person that sprayed Sicknick in the face was not a protester. It was a policeman. Because the policeman was trying to spray a lady in the face. Another protester saw that and pushed his arm, and he accidentally sprayed Officer Sicknick. Now, listen, I love Sicknick. I think he served his country honorably in the military as well. His dream was always to be a member of the Capitol Police. And unfortunately, when he got his job, he was, from what I understand, rather disheartened. I think his political ideas may not have fit in with his coworkers, because you see, Officer Sicknick was a Trump supporter, from what we understand. Makes it a little bit different when your coworkers didn't care for you maybe the way that they should have. And we all know what that looks like, and it's called negligence. And some people need to answer for that, because so far it's been a matter of blaming all these people that had nothing to do with it. When his body was laying right there and you wrote this big story, and then to make it worse, they hid his body in the rotunda. They cremated him, so there goes the evidence. They sold his family a story that it was Trump's fault, and they believed it. They thought that the riot led to the death of Officer Sicknick, but that wasn't the case. The coroner said it was an unfortunate event of timing, that he would have a stroke at that time, but it was two blood clots in the base of his skull, I guess, and two strokes. And that's the way it goes, folks. But yet they impeached President Trump based on that lie, that he led a violent insurrection that led to the death of a police officer. And there's no better grounds for impeachment than that, is what they said. But they hid Sicknick's body in the rotunda for 3 days and called him a martyr. And then they buried his body in Arlington National Cemetery as a hero. And I want them to understand today that they can't steal those words from us. If he's anyone's martyr, it's ours. because you negligently let him die. We didn't do that. We tried to help him. We tried to treat him. We tried to render aid, and you refused that. His death is on your hands. And to be buried as a hero in Arlington National Cemetery is appropriate because he's our hero, because he's helping expose the lies of this administration, of this media, on this witch hunt to try to turn citizens into domestic violent extremists. Because you see, these are the words that they're using against us. Hate crimes, racism, those things just weren't cutting it. It's hard to get intent. It's hard to prove these things. It's hard to make it look a certain way. The words just didn't work. But domestic violent extremist means if you're a threat to persons or property, we can detain you indefinitely as an American citizen with no due process, no trial, because you're a threat to persons or property. Now let's think about what that means. That means if the ladies group at the church says, we're going to get together and we're going to take a bus and we're going to go down to the state capitol and we're all going to picket for whatever, you know, against abortion or something. Okay. Now, if you scared the people inside the building with your very presence, guess what? Because that's the way it works. Look what's happening in Canada. These people weren't violent. They didn't break anything, hurt anybody. And yet they could have been violent. It's thought crimes. It's the thought that they could. Did you know that when it comes to January 6th, over 70% of the people that are incarcerated in pretrial detention are veterans? Over 70% are veterans. Over 90% are Christians, easily. And I just have a real problem with thinking that our government's doing something intentionally against certain classes of people. And we've seen what they've done with our military people. Now they're a threat. Look, the government trains them. The government brings them up, shows them how to do their thing for the government. And when they're finished with them, now they're a threat. So we're seeing the Proud Boys being detained for all this time for thought crimes. They literally didn't do anything wrong on January 6th. And then you have the Oath Keepers who are going through the same thing. What do you think it means to keep the oath? That's what the judges are scared of. That's what the people are scared of, because keeping that oath means they're going to protect us from evil. And that's what they were doing that day. They were hired for security. They were trying to provide security. They didn't do anything wrong. And yet they're being railroaded by this entire administration for more points on their board so they can say, let's spread all these J6 cases around the country. And then we can say there's a major uptick in white nationalism and white supremacy and hate crimes and domestic violent extremists. Folks, wake up, because you're on the list. And it's real funny. I used to say that when I first came back from January 6th, I said, y'all are next. Y'all are next. And, you know, the stereotypical response, especially for some of y'all that weren't there, said, not me. Look, I didn't go. Y'all did some stupid things, acted like fools, possibly got a policeman murdered, did some horrible things. People died. And we don't know why, but we can't support that. We can't get behind that. And we weren't there, so we're not in any trouble. And I said, they're coming for you next. And they said, no, they're not going to come for me. I didn't do anything. I wasn't there. I don't support you people. I'm not giving to your fundraisers because you might have killed a cop. And then those same people went to a school board meeting and said, hey, you know, we don't really like CRT. Can you stop telling our kids about that crap? And the FBI is banging on their door. Boom, boom, boom. Guess what? You can't speak out against this government. You can't speak out, however corrupt and tyrannical they are. How brave are you to stand? How brave are you to say something? How brave are you to stand for someone else? Because that's really what we need right now. We all need to stand for each other. And that's not a party thing. That's an American thing. And if you're like me, you like a good underdog story. And I'm still waiting for the miracle, folks. I believe we need to keep our heads down in prayer and keep asking God for that miracle that we need for our nation, for our country, to save what we have. We're in a horrible, horrible spot. And you know, these people from January 6th were just as frustrated as you. And I know you're frustrated right now about the election that we just had. Well, think about this. 2 years ago, they went through the same thing, and they're still living from the aftermath of that. They were fed up with the masks, with the restrictions, with the jabs, with everything that was going on with the world, with the business shutdowns, with the schools, with the kids, with the health issues, everything that's involved. People were really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they showed up to do something. And it wasn't to do something violent. And I really hope that you people can understand that and that you can get behind our hostages. One good way to do that is to go and get this book. I really believe it will open your eyes if you will open your hearts, and it will change what you believe about that day. And if you already know what happened, then you're going to want to see this. You're going to want to read this, because it will never leave your mind. When you read these letters in their own hand, it makes a big difference. It really does, because this is their pleas for us to do something to support them the way they supported us. So if you go to lettersfromprison.us, lettersfromprison.us, or j6patriotnews.com, same place, same link, and just go pre-order this book. Get your name in the list. We're about to do the email, so it's going to be first come, first serve on this first round. We're looking for sponsors. If you would like to sponsor some of these books for prisoners and families and such, we could use some help on that. Like I said, all the proceeds go to help the prisoners and their families as well. So it's doing good on top of doing good, and hopefully getting this message out to the right people. And maybe it will just make the left mad enough to give us some free press and tell people, look at this crazy book they put out, because the world needs to know it, not just our side. So give it away as gifts. You know, you've got Christmas coming up, but you've got a lot of other opportunities to share this. The 4th of July will be another big day. And if we go 2 years on January 6th, will be 2 years. If we hit another 4th of July, it's very disappointing, very disappointing. Imagine if you were in their position and had paid the ultimate price. Everything you own, your reputation, your job. You know, one guy got out, he's living in his car. They take everything from you. You get deplatformed. You lose your family along the way. Then you lose your house and your car and everything else. It's the standard procedure for these guys. So they really could use your help. Lettersfromprison.us. Order yours today. We're trying to get the numbers going. And share it with everybody you know. It's very important that America gets a copy of this book in their hands. They need to touch it. They need to read it. They need to feel it. They need to share it. They need to learn the truth about what happened on January 6th. So in all the season, here we are giving thanks. Let's give thanks for the sacrifice that these people have made for us to put the light on the situation that we're in, to let us know what our government is capable of, and using them as the guinea pigs, as the examples for that, because we can never let this happen again. These are unprecedented times, and we cannot let it happen again. Do you know what really happened and why? That is the question. This is a great way for you to learn what really happened and how you can help fix what has happened to these great American heroes from Patriots Day, January 6, 2021. So guys, listen, thank you for putting up with my rant today. I wish that my guest would have made it in here. We're going to talk about his story real soon. Go follow us at stophate.com. There's a couple of follow us buttons. You can watch our discussion island. Follow us on Rumble. We put videos out and stuff. But we appreciate your time. And I hope that God richly blesses you through this holiday season. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas if I don't see you again before then. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you. And as I go out the door here, just remember, letters for prison, lettersfromprison.us. And that's the gift that keeps on giving this year. help spread the word, folks. Thank you.